You didn't come for, although I wouldn't mind having one myself right now, a mocha. I have a mocha jacket on. How's that? Is that, yeah. Mocha. This jacket's actually lamb. I feel sorry for the lamb that gave his life for me. But there was a lamb who gave his life for us. Amen. We praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 27. You didn't come tonight to sip a coffee and have somebody give you some pop culture stuff. No, you came tonight to hear the word. Amen. Amen. That's the difference between word churches. We don't play around games like that. We're here to grow. I have taught in Bible schools before, you know that, and I'll tell you what, a pastor that can't teach isn't a pastor. That's really the truth. Somebody said, well, why is that, Pastor Dan? I mean, shouldn't a pastor just get up and be kind of like a cheerleader? No, that's been the problem in a lot of churches, is there's a lot of hype, and they may grow to a mile wide, but they're about an inch deep. No. I would suggest that the pastor, based on the word, needs to be able to give instruction to cause the saints to grow. Amen. The saints ought to grow in the word. And grow in their desire for the things of God. I mean, it's a serious slap against the pastors that are just using congregations, using the sheep for their own personal gain. And that's very, very unscriptural, very wrong, and will be judged. Amen. Now, the title of the message tonight is Storms Come and Storms Go. Now, if you watch the weather, we're supposed to get some storms later today. And, you know, this morning, I think when we got up, it was pouring rain, and then it quit, and then it started up again. But they're talking storms coming in from the west and southwest. And, you know, we bind any tornadic activity from destroying our properties. Amen. And I'm with you there, and I'm standing and believing for your safety and your protection and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, every storm that comes, what's the nature of it? I mean, it fires up, and then it blows through, and it blows out. Amen. And it comes in, and it goes out. And that's the way every storm is. Now, the hurricanes in Florida at time, when they come in off the coast, they'll just kind of stall and churn over the state of Florida. And I've seen that. In fact, I've been through one. Hurricane Cleo, I was in the early 60s. Yeah, I was just a little boy, okay, but it was like 64 or something like that, 65 maybe. But it was pretty serious. My uncle and my dad and my brother, my cousins, they boarded up the windows on the house, and I mean, it was a serious thing coming in. And when those storms come in and they just kind of sit there and churn, I mean, it's a torrential rain. There's flooding. There's heavy winds. It's just not a good thing. Those storms are a little slower moving. They're better if they get, you know, if they're going to come ashore like that, that they dissipate and die off much so that the category is dropped down to that of a tropical storm or whatever. But most storms that we know of and deal with here in Oklahoma, tornadoes, when tornadoes are around, they blow in, they blow up, they blow out. And but they don't destroy our stuff. Amen? Come on, that needs to be your confession. And that needs to be, they'll have to just go up when they come this way. They're just going to have to go up and dissipate in Jesus' name. I've spoken to tornadoes so many times, people think, well, you know, what's the matter with you? Well, my question is right back at them, what's the matter with you? Why don't you talk to them? You crazy? No, I'm just doing like the master did in the word. Jesus did. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and they were all amazed that he got the kind of results. Well, I'm doing it in his name. Amen. What did he say? In my name, you go forth and you lay hands on the sick. You cast out devils. You'll speak in other tongues. It doesn't mean that you'll just stop cussing, although you should stop cussing when you're a believer. Amen. I didn't hear too many amens there. Oh, boy. Storms come and storms go. What's the thing that people always say here in Oklahoma? Hang around 15 minutes. The weather will change. We've had some really warm days. Yesterday, when I got up and went out yesterday morning, was that Monday morning when it was like 40? Is that Monday? Whenever. Yesterday? It was cold. Yeah, because I put a flannel shirt on. I went in the bank. I had a flannel shirt on, jeans and stuff, you know, and they go, oh, you got the flannels out. I said, man, it's cold outside. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But hang around for 15 minutes and it'll change. I've seen it where it's gone from 80 to like 50 in a matter of 10 minutes. I mean, like, whoa, that's terrible stuff. But storms are temporary. Now, overcoming storms, there's some things that we need to look at concerning overcoming a storm. When a storm shows up in your life, maybe it's a financial storm. Have you ever been in the middle of a financial storm? When bills are coming in and the bills begin to exceed the amount of income, the expenses are going over the top of the income, that's not a good position to be in, amen? How about your physical health, a storm, where it seems like you're stuck in a waiting room? I don't mean at the doctor's office. I mean where you're stuck in the waiting room and it seems like things aren't changing. And how long is this going to go on? And when is this healing going to manifest like I've been promised in the Word? What about that? You've been in some storms like that before. You've had some maybe relationship storms, maybe family matters. Sounds like a series, doesn't it? Family storms that have arisen over time. So what are you going to do when these storms are approaching and coming? The first thing that you need to do, and this is something that we can go to Matthew chapter 7. The first thing that you do is you prepare. Number one, prepare before the storm ever arrives. You know where I'm going in Matthew 7. This guy decided to build his house upon the solid rock. Amen. There was a guy that built his house on the sand. Oh, sand is real nice until it has water running over it. And then it starts to wash away. You ever put sand out and you're doing, well, for instance, we have people that bought the acreage next to us in our development, and they're building a home right now, and boy, the rains have been wreaking havoc on the thing. You know, you just get going, and they're making some progress. The forms are up where they are. they did the footers. They got the footers poured and all that, and now they began the sanding process and getting the pipes laid. The plumbers are coming in, doing the roughing on the pipes, and then a big rain. And what happens is it washes everything out. Now they got to go in there and fix it and get it back to where it was, because rain does that to sand. And this guy in this particular story, Jesus talks about the one who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, remember? Now, up in verse 24, therefore, he talks about whoso heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, not just hearing it, but actually hears it and does it. James 1, verse 22 tells us to be a doer, not just a hearer. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So preparation makes a difference. This guy prepared. When the storms came, his house stood the test. Just mark it down. I wouldn't put my faith out and really get excited about believing for a storm to come into your life. But the fact is, if you're serving the Lord, there will be some storms along the way. Nobody likes to hear that, especially out of the mouth of a Word of Faith preacher. But I need to be straight up with you. If it were possible to come to the place in your life of being so developed in your faith that you would never have another trial again, Don't you suppose the Lord Jesus Christ would have never had any opposition to his walk here in the earth? Because who walked any more perfect than he? Nobody. Who can you think of in the scriptures would have probably been next in line? Had great miracles? I mean, one of the 12, maybe Peter. We know what Peter did. What about Paul? Paul was a hellion before he knew Jesus and was responsible for having a lot of people dragged into the lion's den in the arena and having them slaughtered and killed. I mean, my goodness, he stood there and held the coat of Stephen while they stoned him to death. Then he got saved. And he got born again and changed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And things began to change in him. And that man had mighty miracles happen. Mighty miracles. Peter had mighty miracles. Remember, he got close enough to people where a shadow hit him and people were getting healed. Now, I'll tell you something about that. Every one of them had trials. Why? Because Satan hates God. Satan hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He did everything he could to stop him in this earth. He did everything he could to stop the Apostle Paul from preaching the word. It was called the thorn in the flesh, right? You remember that? An angelos of diabolos of the devil, an angel of the devil. That was the thorn in the flesh. It wasn't eye trouble. It wasn't pus running out of his eyes. Good night. No, no, no. That's not it at all. It was a spirit, a demon that was loosed, commissioned to stop Paul wherever he went to try to preach the gospel. And in time, you see, Paul ended up spending longer periods of time in places where that thing couldn't penetrate. And he was there for months in one place and years in another place. He'd have revival in other places, and he'd go somewhere, and he'd a riot, and they'd try to kill him. On one instance, they did. They stoned him, and he died. And that's what is related in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he saw the third heaven. Remember that? Saw things, heard things that he can't even really get across because it was too glorious. It was too beautiful. That was on one of those occasions when that thorn in the flesh moved and motivated people to stone him to death. The disciples, other believers there in that place, gathered around him, prayed, and he raised up from the dead. Now, this man had miracles happening, and he had trials and tests. What makes you think that you or I in this life are going to go through this life without being tested, tempted, and tried of the devil too? If you're doing anything for the Lord, if you have any Bible in you, you're going to be tested. He hates you. I've got news for you. He hates you. But I have a message for the devil. He can stuff that in his ear too, in the name of Jesus. Amen? He has no authority over us. We have authority over him. He's to be under our feet. But just understand, somebody said, well, you know, God uses tests. No, stop looking at it that way. Do not look at it that way. The Lord wants you to get the word out. That's what you're here for. You and I are ambassadors. And the devil and all of his minions, the demons, they want to stop that from happening. So they try to get in the way. They try to discourage you and dissuade you and persuade you to do something else other than coming to church on a Wednesday night, other than hearing the word of God, other than praying, other than getting in the word of God. I mean, come on, let's just be honest about it. That's how it works. And so we have to be hip to that. We need to be on top of it and say, okay, I recognize what the devil's trying to do here. And in the name of Jesus, you're not going to succeed at this. Because greater is he that's in me. Even though the testings and the trials come, it's not from the Lord. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Just write that down. What that verse says is don't be caught unexpectedly by the fiery trials or storms that come your way. Don't be caught unexpectedly by it. Just understand, you're in a fight. Why do you suppose you've been given all these weapons of warfare? So you can sit on them? So you can talk about them? So you can, you know, well, it's kind of like having a whole arsenal of weapons, and all you do is moan and groan and complain because you feel like you're not safe and protected, but you refuse to pick up the gun to protect yourself. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? It'd be like sending a soldier into battle and say, well, just do the best you can. Aren't you going to give me a gun? Well, yes, we will, but, you know, whether you use it or not, that's your choice. Well, I just don't know that I ought to try to pick that up. I'll go fight them by hand. You'll die doing that. You have weapons. Weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty, the Bible says, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You need to use them. You need to use them. You've been given the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit in your hand, the shield of faith in this hand, the breastplate of righteousness. My goodness sakes. Then you've got the prayers of the saints to gather in unity, to hook your shield together to form an impenetrable wall. That's where intercession comes in. That's part of it. We need to use the weapons of our warfare. Why would you need to use weapons if you weren't being attacked? He knows what the devil's going to try to do. Because he tried it against Jesus, and he tried it against the early church, and my goodness sakes. Remember the book of Acts, active Christians terrorizing Satan with what? Their smiles? I don't think so. They're terrorizing him with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, man. Praise God for that. So the first thing in overcoming a storm is prepare before the storm arrives. Come on, prepare. Don't wait until the problem shows up. Oh, man, you know, where's my Bible? Well, why isn't your Bible where, you know, you ought to have Bibles all over the place, man. The first and foremost place that it needs to be is right here. And I mean right here. It's important to get it up here in your thoughts to renew your mind. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us to renew our mind with the Word of God. But then you need to let that settle in and sink in so that you are moved and motivated by it in your conscience. Your conscience. That's the voice of the spirit man, is the conscience. Just make note of that. Number two, be careful who you listen to during the storm. People make mistakes when they're in a storm or in the midst of a problem if they listen to the wrong people. You need to find wise, seasoned counsel. Can I hear an amen? Don't just take counsel from anybody. Don't find somebody who's got problems like you wouldn't believe, and they're going to give you the answers. I would find somebody who has weathered the storm, come through the hard times, used their faith, developed in it, fought the enemy off, and has come through victorious. I tell you what, if I'm going to go into a battle, I want to go in with somebody who's got some experience. I don't want to go in there with some guy who's green who doesn't know, you know, the butt of the gun from the end of the barrel. Doesn't know anything about, I don't know, it's a 1, 2, 3 on this thing. Is that a burst? What is that? Is that, what does full automatic mean? I don't know, buddy, you stay home. I don't want you watching my back. You'll get us both hurt. Amen. Be careful who you listen to during the storm. If you look long enough, you'll find somebody who will agree with you whatever it is, concerning whatever it is, whatever you want them to agree with. They'll agree with you if they can get something out of it. Man, I would rather somebody say, hey, wait a minute, what about look at it from this angle? You know, you think you're prepared, but you're leaving this exposed. I want truth. Amen? So be careful who you listen to during a storm. Number three. By the way, you can write these verses down for number two. Psalm 73, verse 24, it reads this way. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Oh, yeah. God uses people for sure. And Proverbs 11, verse 14 is, there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Remember that. This stuff preaches. This is essential to get down. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, but there's some people that I've had individuals come to me and say, I went to this person for prayer. That guy doesn't, he thinks tongues are of the devil. Why are you going to somebody that thinks tongues are of the devil, for crying out loud? Where's there going to be any faith in that? That guy believes that sometimes God puts sickness on you to teach you. Oh, I'm going there, I'm having counsel. I wouldn't do that. That's why I tell you, it's so important what you and who you listen to and who you hook up with. Oh, man, yeah, it's vital. I don't want to sit around and listen to somebody who says, well, you know, sometimes God does this stuff. He does this. He'll lay you flat on your back just to teach you and show you who God is. He's the boss, not you. Well, I worship the Lord. He is the boss, but he's a good God, and he's a loving God, and he doesn't lay you flat on your back. He's not the one who puts sickness on you. He's not the one who tempts, tests, and tries you. Well, Pastor Dan, what about Abraham? Genesis 22, verse 1, and God did tempt Abram. Go back and read that again and do a little Hebrew study on it. You'll find that it did not mean tempt. The translators chose that word. They didn't have to choose it. In fact, they shouldn't have chosen that. He proved Abram is what it said. To tempt means to coerce, using underhanded means and methods, and there's different definitions for that or different parts of that definition, but to solicit one to do evil? You think God's going to solicit you like that? He knows what's in you. It's the devil who doesn't know what's in you. And the devil who's trying to, you know, he's trying to get you off your faith all the time. Ah, that worked before, and he keeps little records too. That worked on him last time that happened. I got in there and I caused a little trouble over here and he blew up like a cheap watch, you know. And then he forgot all about the word and forgot all about his faith. And when that happened, he got so scared his faith wouldn't work. And it worked last time. Let's try it again. That's how the devil operates. You say, the devil? The demons. There's only one devil and he can't be everywhere at the same time. So he's not messing literally with you, but he represents, and the demons are under him, and there are different levels of demonic activity and demons that come against the body of Christ. But the fact is, when you say in the name of Jesus, devil, I resist you, that guy's working for the devil, and he has to leave too. Oh, Pastor, I think you better name the spirit. There are times the Lord has shown me that there's a certain spirit working. I had a young lady came up to me one time and she said, the Lord showed me the name of the devil that's been harassing me. I just heard this, kind of like the, what's the show, the Twilight Zone, you know? Like, okay. And his name is, and she said some goofy sounding name. I said, well, what are you playing with that for? If you know the name, why haven't you kicked him out yet? Well, the Lord's showing me. I'm saying, he didn't show you that. You're all messed up. See, I tell you, some of the stuff I've heard over the years is just unbelievable. That people try to make some spiritual something. Hey, what do you need to know the guy's name for? Why don't you just, if you know that it's a spirit of fear, kick it out. What's your name? Well, Jesus asked the name of the guy, what's your name? Name's Legion. The devil was speaking through that man. That wasn't the guy's actual name. Well, demons were taking possession of that man. Well, Jesus ran him out. He didn't go, well, let me see, how do you spell that? Is it L-E-G-I-O-N or L-E-G-E-E-N? Huh? Well, Legion, what is it? No matter what your stinking name is, you have the name of Jesus, which is above every name of anything the enemy has to offer. Number three, do not allow circumstances to guide you. This is what you do when overcoming storms. First one was prepare before the storm ever arrives. Number two, be careful who you listen to during the storm. Number three, do not allow circumstances to guide you. You can't be moved by circumstances. All that stinking demonic entity that's coming against you, like Paul had that thorn in the flesh, all he's got to do is stir up some trouble. And if you're moved by the circumstances, oh my goodness, they didn't like what I just said. I better never say that again. Did that move Paul? Did it move Jesus? Did it move Peter when he stood up and preached the word? No! Are you going to be moved by circumstances? You have the same Lord living on the inside of you. The one who walked the face of this earth and rebuked the devil and laid hands on the sick and cast out those devils and raised the dead, the one that walked on the water, walks in you, lives in you. When you lay hands on the sick, he's inside you. You realize you're wall-to-wall God on the inside? It's not you. Your body's the temple or the holy of holies of the Lord, and that's where he lives and dwells. You have the name. You have the book that instructs you, and don't cut the corners. Get in it. Amen. I just see in this whole COVID-19 thing, the fear that has attacked the body of Christ and how many Christians are cowering underneath that. There's too much time spent in front of the TV not watching programs that are preaching the Word of God. And I would suggest that you find the Victory Network. Dennis Burke was on there yesterday and watched old Dennis. Old Dennis, don't let him hear, you know, he'll say, what was that, Dan? Yeah. I texted him sometime in the afternoon yesterday and because their ministry had sent me a notice that he'd be on. So I texted him and I said, hey, I'm believing God for a wonderful time tonight on the program. And he texted me back, man, we're believing for a great impact. I said, amen, you've got agreement here. But I was watching that. He was on there yesterday. And you know, Brother Copeland, we listened to Brother Kenneth and Sister Gloria at noon while we were eating lunch today. I mean, get the word going. You sit there listening to this guy on Fox or that person over there, and they're talking about how bad it is, and oh, more people died, and more, oh, and it's going to get so bad, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, I don't need to hear that noise. This word is still true, and it always has been, and it always will be, irregardless of what happens and what comes. Well, you know, Pastor Dan, I mean, you need to be responsible. I think we're being responsible. I've done what they've asked me to do, you know? I mean, I was ready to open the church the day after they announced this whole thing was starting. But because they didn't want us to do that, we did what we had to do. And you know what? Kept preaching the word the same. Whether the house is full or it's empty, didn't matter to me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So you can't allow circumstances to guide you. Romans 8, verse 14. The Bible speaks of those who are the sons of God are led how? By the Spirit of God. Do you realize in the Greek language, it's talking about those who are mature sons or mature believers are those who are led by the Spirit. The immature are led by circumstances, situations, the way things look, the way they've, well, Pastor Dan, can't you see how it appears? I've learned not to look at how things appear. Amen? Faith doesn't consider the circumstances. Faith considers the word. Years ago, there was a thing that Bill Clinton, when he was president, they started to do. And I guess others have done it, but they made it more popular and others have done it since. They poll the people, their constituents, to see how they would vote concerning a certain thing. And he went by whatever the majority said in their party. Character had nothing to do with it. What God says had nothing to do with it. If you know, okay, the majority of the people think that abortion's okay, so I'm going to vote that abortion's okay. In fact, Obama said the very same thing. I don't personally believe in it, but, well, then what kind of man are you? That you would vote for women to be able to kill babies. And I will tell you something else. This New York business that's going on right now, there are believers in New York who are being isolated, well, insulated from what's going on around them, okay? Because they have a covenant. But there were those, I very plainly remember the picture of the minister with his collar on and the governor and the different ones that were signing all behind this bill to kill babies even after their birth at 9 months. Crown them, kill them. Crown the baby's head out of the mother and kill the baby and throw it out in the trash. Oh, isn't this wonderful? That clown with his collar on, I don't know what his name was. You can go find the picture, but they're all smiling. Is it any wonder? They opened the door to the devil big time out there. Period. God's not killing people, but the devil is behind that. He uses people, he abuses them, and then he cuts them and kills them. And that, I'm telling you, you don't step up and say, it's great to be able to kill babies at 9 months. I mean, come on, man. What's the next thing? You're over 85 and you're not so healthy. We're just going to give you a shot and put you to sleep too, like an animal. Is that what they're thinking next? You know it is. Euthanasia. Well, don't think it's strange that they're having what they're having right now out there. And I'm telling you, the believers in that land, the state of New York, and there are some good, strong, word of faith, godly men and women, boys and girls in that state. They've had some lousy politicians and stuff that goes on there. But they said, come on in, devil. That's what they did. That's what they did. They need to repent. They need to repent. And it's no wonder why that place has been ravaged. And I feel bad for the people that have been ravaged with the sickness out there. I certainly do. And God's not the one doing it to them. But I tell you, you open the door to that kind of junk, that's the bottom line end result when that happens. Amen anyway. It's the truth. It is. And we need to believe God that New York gets a hold of that. And there are people screaming and crying now, and maybe some have realized what kind of evil they opened the door to in that state when they signed that bill. And the people applauded it. And the majority wanted it. Whew, that's heavy. That's heavy. Yeah, for sure. Number four, quickly, we need to get through here. Number four, stay calm. The worst thing to do in a storm is panic. Fear always destroys your ability to function properly in faith. Remember that. Proverbs 17, verse 27 reads this way. He that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. You say, what does that have to do with staying calm? The word excellence is a Hebrew word that means cool. You talk about somebody staying cool when the situation is heating up, that's the man who has that understanding of what the word says. Proverbs 17, verse 27, Fonzie did not invent cool. It was in the scriptures long before Fonz. Oh, yeah. Hey. He that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a cool spirit. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Stays cool under fire. Walks in excellence, sets a standard of how he or she is going to walk, and abides by it and walks by it. End of discussion. Number five, never abandon your purpose. Never abandon your purpose. When trouble shows up, don't abandon what the Lord told you to do. In Acts 27, I had you open to Acts 27, right? But we didn't really read it. I read the whole chapter just a couple hours ago again. And you remember the shipwreck that happened. And I'll tell you, Paul had a purpose for being on that ship. He was to go to Rome to appear before Caesar, remember? And he had favor with that first centurion. And then they turned it over, and he moved from that ship to the next ship, the one that would end up in trouble. And that centurion didn't listen to Paul. Paul said, I perceive that much harm's going to come of this. And in fact, he told him, he said, don't even leave. Don't even set out. And the guy just flat didn't want to do what Paul said and set out anyway. Well, you remember the end of the story? They all ended up on the island, Melita, right? And not a one of them perished. But in the process, they were throwing the cargo overboard. That ship was supposed to take that cargo to where it was going, and they threw it overboard in the midst of the storm. And that's a lesson for you and I to learn and live by. Don't abandon your purpose when the going gets tough. Don't cash it in when the going gets tough. Don't abandon what the Lord's told you to do when it gets a little rough. Life's not just smooth sailing all the time. Living your life as a believer, the Lord gives you a purpose in life. He gives you an order, if you will, to do this, do this, do this. And the minute it gets a little rough, now who wins if we abandon the call, we abandon what the Lord is telling us to do the minute the situation gets a little rough, the minute things start getting heated up and we turn tail and run? Now who wins? If the enemy can stir up little brush fires everywhere, he can start leading you around by your nose if you're always going to react to the circumstances. I would rather be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So don't abandon your purpose. Don't abandon your purpose when times get rough. Don't turn tail and let fear grab you by the neck when you have word of sickness out there. Man, there's sickness every year out there. I know this one has had a lot more press. It's kind of interesting that it's an election year too, isn't it? Somebody say, well, now are you one of those conspiracy guys? No, but I just find it amazing that in my lifetime, in the absolute hatred that the Democratic Party has for President Trump, this has really hurt the country. But I will tell you something. Please stand to your feet. I will tell you this much, regardless, and I'm telling you right now, this economy is coming back. This nation is going to rebound from this in the name of Jesus. And I can't think of a better man who's got some savvy about him, some strength about him than our president right now to be steering this boat through this storm. He's listening to the Lord. My prayer for him is that he remain, of course, healthy, strong, and listen and receive godly counsel only. Yeah, because the devil would love to try to inject stuff in there to get him to go for it and all that. So that's where our prayers are at regarding the president. And I want to tell you right now, I did that same thing for President Obama, President George W. Bush, President Clinton, President George H. Bush, Ronald Reagan before that, Jimmy Carter before that. How far back do I need to go? Who was before Carter? Come on. Ford. You're right. It was Ford. Yeah. Then Nixon. Then Johnson. Then Kennedy. Then what? Eisenhower. Then, oh boy, we better keep going. Let's stop right there. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Come on, bow your heads, let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are not the author of the storm, but you are the Lord who's greater than the storm. And you live in us, and you'll direct us and lead us and guide us even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of this COVID-19 storm that the country finds itself in, the world really finds itself in, the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, we're in that ark, aren't we? We are in that ark, and you are the captain of our salvation. You have the rudder control. We give you control, and we bless you tonight and praise you and thank you for getting us through this time victorious, healthy, whole, and well. I thank you for the health of this congregation and the strength and, Father, the peace and the protection that is afforded each person in the body of Christ and in particular of Solid Rock Church. Thank you, Lord. We praise you tonight and bless you tonight that your word is alive in us. And Lord God, we will do what you instruct us to do in the name of Jesus. We'll share the word, speak the word, preach the word, sing the word, pray the word, live the word in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, come on, say amen.